The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June the 28th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with all the day's agricultural news, including a Supreme Court decision to hear a case on global warming, and an Army Corps of Engineers finding against upgrading the levees on the Upper Mississippi River. We'll talk to Drew Lerner today of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That'll happen just after the bottom of the hour. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with him. And along the way, we'll hear a second story for this week on the dairy industry. June is, after all, National Dairy Month. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. July wheat at 372, down 6.25 today. September futures at $3.88, down 6.5. July wheat futures in Kansas City down 2.75 at $4.90.75. July corn futures now from Chicago 226. They were up 0.75 today. September futures 237, up 0.5, and December's 252 finished 0.75 higher. The March contract at 263.75, up 0.75 for the day. Soybeans, July contract 578.5, up 0.5. August contract at 585.75, up 0.75. And September's 593 were up 1 for the day. November beans up 2.25 at 605.75. July bean oil 25.27, 13 higher. Feeder cattle from the Mercantile Exchange down 35 cents at $117.20 today. June live cattle at 86.25 were up 17.5, and July lean hogs at 72.02.5 were down $1.82.5. From the outside markets, crude oil finished the August contract still trading, actually, at $72.15, up 23. The CRB index at 338.12, up 1.05. And the dollar at 86.71, up 0.2. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 10,968, 43 points higher for the day. And July oil, or rather July gold, at $582.30, down $3.20 at this hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about this marketplace as we head into report day this Friday, 7:30 a.m. USDA tells us all about acreage in the United States.
Well, and usually they get this one done a little better. It's probably the most accurate report the USDA puts out as far as acreage. A long time ago, Conrad Leslie in an Outlook meeting said the government don't argue with the actual acreage numbers because they have that one pinpointed as well as anything they do. And so we have to, remember that very closely. I think the market, is focusing in on the weather forecast and the past rainfall amounts. And I guess the real surprise today was the sell-off in wheat. We saw commodity funds sell over 2,000 contracts of wheat. FEMAT dumped 300 to 400 contracts late in the trading day. Some spread liquidation, but it was basically a pretty dry weather forecast. We do know that the Canadian wheat, spring wheat areas, also the U.S. spring wheat areas, problems in Australia all add up to fairly strong and major problems with growing wheat in the world. But today we did see profit taking. Could it be some disappointment on an export tender? Could it be just lightening up before the USDA reports, or a combination of those? I don't think there was any historic spreads that liquidated at this point in time, but we did see funds major sellers in wheat.
I listened to your conversation this morning with Dave Dickey, and you're talking about the surveys that you had taken in the western and the eastern Corn Belt, and the idea that they were heavy on corn acres in the western belt. I wondered, you didn't define this quite thoroughly, and I wondered whether you were talking about Nebraska or Iowa in that case.
Well, when we go down, and of course we do talk to some of our parent company locations, and that gives us, we think, an advantage over some of the other surveys that are taken, because we think, the parent company does as good a job of catching those ideas as anybody. You know, number one, Minnesota, heavy on corn. We know the Dakotas were heavy on corn. Nebraska, heavy on corn, and even Iowa. Whereas we find when we talk to our locations, maybe it was a smaller planted acreage in Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. Some weather conditions were prevalent there. It's been so long since there's been a weather problem west of Mississippi. That's been a factor. The freedom to farm has been a factor. We thought that there would be some changes out there, but we just didn't pick them up. Ethanol, one comment on the floor was ethanol is a factor for more corn acres. And I think the only area where I really think that's a factor is in the Dakotas.
Yeah.
When we talked to our introducing brokers at ADM Investor World meetings in Chicago, they tell us that the Dakota farmer is learning how to raise corn on one-third of his and one-third beans and one-third wheat. It's a rotation. They like it, and it's been very profitable to them. So, we see that, but that's where the big acreage is. And they, between those two states, about 6.2 million acres total production of corn out there. And, of course, that's one of the two areas that is so dry right now.
You think that really, I guess the question is, if that's the case and we're in more dry land crop areas, will that push final total yield, total bushels up very much, even if we have more acres?
Well, I think it's, my feeling is when we also have the advantage here of actually pinning down past weather rainfall. And we know that a big portion of the western growing area and even parts of Illinois have had like 60 to 70% of normal rainfall May, June, and, we see that corn on corn, that big acreage out there, and I think it's very vulnerable for some heat, and that's the reason why, three of the major weather forecasters that we watch, Freeze Notice, the Sparks people, Informa, and also World Weather, and there's another one that, all those major people did show some concerns about heat, maybe cool off, but basically a lack of rainfall in that western area. I know the new model went wetter, but people said it was way too wet based on the physics of the situation as of today in the month of July.
What's your guess for acreage for corn for Friday morning?
Well, I think it's going to be pretty close to 80 million acres. Is it higher than that? Well, I don't think the market wants to see a report that's higher than that, and I don't think they've got a priced in, the prices don't reflect a smaller acreage there either. So in other words, a smaller acreage, I think, will be quite friendly to the corn futures.
Of course, USDA's March 31st planting intentions report showed 78 million acres. The
and
average
that,
trade guess at about
Yeah, we have to give that a very low grade, and we don't know. Obviously, one of the big states that had the biggest discrepancy, of course, was Illinois, and of course all those western states we think probably had numbers too low as well. We don't know why they did it and how they did it, but I think their survey was probably not very good. And of course I know they want to blame the poor old farmer for that, but we wonder if something else entered in.
Oh, I wonder.
That.
I mean, of course, if you're surveying 80,000 people, that's a lot of farmers across the Midwest and around the nation that they survey on that one. And the farmers simply tell them how much they think they're going to plant. It'll be interesting to see how things turn out on Friday morning when this report comes out. I heard you say this morning that the soybean number could be as important as anything.
Well, it is. And, of course, why do we say that? And, of course, the idea is just how many soybean acres are planted. We do know the Delta and the spring wheat area, with farmers wanting to plant soybeans in the Dakotas as well as corn. And we know that it's dry, and with wheat fields right next to corn and soybean fields, it's a major market factor. And, of course, we know that it's been popular for funds to be bearish. We know all the fundamental people in the world are all bearish, but the farmer, both in South America and the U.S., have been very stubborn on selling soybeans. Demand seems to be great in China as well. So soy diesel, that's a year away. But the big factor here is that the market's very stubborn about going down, and it is quite profitable to process soybeans into soybean meal and soybean oil right now.
Over at the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle were lower today, but still up at $117 in the August. The September's almost $117 as well. Live cattle futures up at $86, $87, depending on which month you're in. $90 futures there?
Maybe in October, December, down the road, and of course, unfortunately, our trading partners aren't trading fair with us. And when it comes to beef, we are finding stubbornness in the Pacific Rim as far as people opening up our good quality beef there. Congress is starting to get angry about the situation, but at the meantime, that the surprise is that the fundamental people are basically missed this when cattle are trading $3 to $5 higher than what the fundamentals 30 days ago would indicate. Part of the reason is that they did a better job of marketing, and the placements have been slowed down considerably.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Tip of the hat.
Thanks much, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. We sure enjoy his company each and every Wednesday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Just after the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with World Weather Incorporated's Drew Lerner. Our own forecast from Ed Kieser for tonight says in the north and central sections, some scattered showers across the two-state region, thunderstorms early, otherwise partly cloudy. In the south, partly to mostly cloudy tonight, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Lows will range from 55 in the north to 63 in the far south, says Ed Kieser. Tomorrow in the north and central sections, mostly sunny. In the south, partly to mostly sunny, a chance of a few scattered thunderstorms. Highs will range from 78 in the north to 88 in the far south. Wind speeds tomorrow 6 to 12 miles an hour. The minimum afternoon relative humidity ranging between 40 and 50% for the day. Dave Dickey is here now with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to consider whether the Bush administration must regulate carbon dioxide to combat global warming. The court will address whether the administration's decision to rely on voluntary measures to combat climate change are legal under federal clean air laws. A dozen states asked the court to take up the case after lower courts ruled federal clean air laws do not require the EPA to limit carbon dioxide emissions because it is not a pollutant. A new U.S. Army Corps of Engineers study says upgrades to the Upper Mississippi to protect land against a once-in-a-100-year major flood would cost $3.7 billion. The findings are being discussed this week in public hearings across Illinois and Iowa. Afterwards, Corps officials will make a final recommendation to Congress. U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab yesterday said the U.S., in her words, can't be stampeded in closing an agreement just to make a deadline in the Doha round of World Trade Talks.
The U.S.'s negotiating posture has been consistent and remains exactly the way it was in the fall, which is we want an ambitious outcome. We want a big outcome. And there have been periodically rumors that somehow we would settle for something less. And the message here is we have no intention of settling for something less.
At a Capitol Hill news conference, Schwab says U.S. negotiators will be stressing substance over timing. Leading Senate and House agriculture lawmakers say it would be better for Schwab to agree to no deal rather than a bad deal. And lawmakers hinted they might consider extending the president's fast-track trade promotion authority. Senate Ag Chair Saxby Chambliss.
Knowing the caliber and the quality of our negotiators and knowing that they might walk away from the table, I think gives us, gives them certainly a better opportunity to get a positive response for those folks who object to TPA extension.
Meanwhile, in his weekly teleconference call, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says the Doha round, in his words, is on life support. And USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says decisions this week in Geneva are critical if Doha is to succeed.
This is a make-or-break stage for us. We are literally down to a point where there just isn't much time left to have this Doha round come together.
The Geneva meeting begins tomorrow and is expected to last into the weekend. Japanese auditors have completed inspection of 3 of 35 U.S. beef processing plants hoping to ship meat to Japan. USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says he believes Japan will not shut down trade again due to future problems with a single beef shipment. Japan stopped all U.S. beef trade this past January after a single shipment was found to contain illegal specified risk material. Meanwhile, a letter from 27 U.S. senators to China is calling on the PRC to resume beef trade with the U.S. In April, China agreed to conditionally resume imports of U.S. beef by the end of June. The letter reminds China of the deadline. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. Right now, you can sign up for our newsletter on that site. Just hit subscribe and you'll get the newsletter this weekend, actually twice, because we'll send out the numbers from the acreage reports early Friday morning, just after they're released at 7:30 a.m. They're already posted on the website. The other thing that you can do on the website is to pledge your financial support to this radio station. It is, after all, a publicly funded radio station. And we're partners with you, the listeners. Just hit the word pledge at the top of the page, or you can dial in that financial support at 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. All the money that we have in the bank by this Friday is what we'll spend in the coming year on ag programming and the rest of the WILL radio stations. Well, up next, low milk prices and high energy costs. Those are squeezing the Illinois dairy industry. Dairy farmers in Illinois are facing tough times. University of Illinois Extension dairy specialist Mike Hutchins says there are three common factors to the lower bottom line for the milkman.
Three factors that are really hammering our Illinois dairy industry. Number one, milk prices are down about 20%. This is a very cyclic pattern, and the answer is very simply, we have more milk in the United States than we can drink. Milk production is up about 3 or 4%. That's because we are milking more cows, and we came off a very profitable 2005. Dairy farmers are business managers, and so when milk prices are solid, then you just sell more milk as far as that goes. But the problem is now that we also have something called energy costs, and here at our university farm, for example, we're paying a fuel surcharge to sell our milk, get our milk off our farm. We're paying charges to bring feed into our farm. So it's just really, really affecting us as far as that goes. Thirdly, the price to produce milk, 40% is feed costs, and corn is a very valuable commodity. And it looks like the ethanol plants are going to add 30 to 40 to 50 cents per bushel to corn. Good if you're a corn grower, not so good if you're a dairy producer and you have to buy corn, because it simply means that you have to have that starch out there in the feeding program.
It all may add up to an interesting, if not dismal, summer for Illinois dairy farmers, and for that matter, those around the nation. The dairy industry is international in scope, but very local in production. A regional drought might cut corn supplies nearby, or even worse, lower the quality of the forage in the area. Both are used to feed the cows. So what can a dairy farmer do to offset some of these additional costs and potential feed supply problems? Well, Hutchins says to work on milk quality.
First of all, one thing that he does control is milk components. So if he can get quality premiums, this includes somatic salt count, higher levels of fat and protein, he can build a higher check as far as that goes. The milk deficiency payment program, known as MILK, M-I-L-C-K, that program is in effect. And that favors small farms. And the good news in Illinois, our average herd size is 90 cows, which means our farmers will get that payment. This last month, that amounts to about $1 per hundredweight. So that'll replace about a third of the loss that has occurred in milk prices as far as that goes.
The good news, says Hutchins, is that it appears the price farmers get for milk should come back up in the fall. By the way, the specialist believes if the rest of the nation had followed the trend in Illinois, the dairy industry would be in better shape. This past year, there were fewer cows in the state, but each produced more milk. That's not the factor making the big difference. Illinois milk production in 2005 was down 1%. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. On a Wednesday afternoon, to take a look at the agricultural cash grain market, we talk with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Kay. I want to ask you about basis in your area. Has it gotten better over the last week or so?
Values have definitely gotten better. The farmers have not been selling anything for a twofold reason. That is trying to struggle to get the crop in the ground. They're trying to spray, and there's still a lot of areas that are too wet. So they just kind of turn their attention to other things. So the trade values have gotten better by probably, in the last month, I'd say maybe 8 to 10 cents in corn and maybe 10 to 15 in beans. And now that may start to go back the other way because the last week, now as they're catching up, there's a lot of inventory out there to move. So interest in selling cash has really picked up here a little bit. So as elevators get busy, you can see this basis go the other way.
And if it does widen out, how much might you expect that to widen?
It depends on how long they hold it because, I mean, if they start moving stuff right away, it could drop back maybe 5 to 8 cents, maybe not just crash and burn, but if we see the same thing that we saw about 5 years ago, there's a lot of loan corn out there. If they hold and hold and hold until sometime in September, you could see the basis just really get crash and burn because you're going to be harvesting in other places and both crops will be coming in at the same time. It could be a bloodbath.
Mm. And then are you satisfied that this is the kind of level that producers ought to be marketing at as they look at the rest of the prospects for the old crop into the harvest season?
Well, I would hope not. I think this corn may be just a little bit oversold, but here again, you know, you can't argue with 71% of the crop good to excellent, and they're looking at probably maybe the high 150s as far as that goes, and we know the government's going to add more acreage out there, so there's just some rumors out there that maybe we could see an 11-5 crop. If that's the case, then these prices might look pretty good. But for right now, they're not worrying about new crop, just cash. But you could see some volatility if this weather turns the other direction and gets hot and dry again.
And your bids for the day?
All right, cash corn is 209, cash beans 561, and cash wheat is 324.
Thanks much, Kay.
Thank you.
Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain joins us on Wednesday afternoon to talk about the cash grain market. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with ag meteorologist Drew Lerner about the weather. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Honda has selected the small southeast Indiana city of Greensburg as the location for its sixth North American auto plant. The $550 million plant is expected to open in 2008 and will employ about 2,000 people. Several other Midwest states were seeking the plant, including Illinois. A spokesman for the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity says he thinks the Vermilion County town of Fithian was passed over because it's not as close to Honda's assembly plants in Ohio as Greensburg is. Champaign police say they've arrested a man on attempted murder charges in connection with a Monday night shooting on West Bradley Avenue. Police say 29-year-old Devin Craig is being held at the Champaign County Jail. His arraignment is scheduled for tomorrow. The financial firm in control of the Kay's merchandise chain says that unsecured creditors have agreed to join major creditors in an out-of-court settlement with the Decatur-based realtor. A retailer, that is. Gordon Brothers Group says the settlement will allow Kay's to stay open and return to profitability. A 15-year-old boy is dead after falling into a soybean silo at his grandfather's home near Clifton in Iroquois County. The Cook County Medical Examiner's Office's Mitchell Widholm died at a suburban Chicago hospital yesterday. An official with the Kempton Fire Protection District says Widholm lost his balance while helping his grandfather and fell into the 30-foot-high structure. Emergency crews cut a hole in the side of the silo to help paramedics get to the teen. Monsanto's American Seed subsidiary is purchasing 5 smaller seed companies, including 2 in Illinois. In Illinois, the companies involved are Sieben Hybrids in the western Illinois town of Geneseo and Trisler Seed Farms in Fairmont in Vermilion County. The other companies are in Indiana and Iowa. Combined, they represent 1.4% of U.S. corn seed sales and 2% of U.S. soybean seed sales. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Thanks for being along with us this afternoon. Tell me about weather here in the Midwest. Farmers are hoping for a little rainfall. Will they get it?
I think there'll be a little rainfall, yes. I want to put quotation marks around little, though. The amount of rain that's predicted for some areas is just not likely to be great enough to make a huge difference in far western parts of the Corn Belt. Now, in Illinois, I think there's a much better potential that some timely rain will show up, especially as we get into the late weekend and the early part of next week. We'll have a slow-moving frontal boundary that will drift across the area and give us an opportunity for some slow-moving thunderstorms to develop, and that may help to bring some significant amounts of moisture to at least portions of the dry region in Illinois. I don't know that we're going to see widespread soaking rain for the entire dry region, and that is going to leave us in a position where we'll still be looking for additional moisture down the road. But we've got a few showers and thunderstorms that will scatter across the region between now and when that frontal boundary starts to push through the region, and the precipitation that occurs between now and then probably won't make a great deal of difference to the soil moisture situation. That's why I'm focused so significantly on that frontal boundary that comes early next week. Right now, I would say there's going to be some 1-inch plus amounts of rain that do come with that frontal system, but in general, we're probably going to be picking up a quarter to maybe a half inch of rain with some localized amounts up to 3/4 of an inch. So a few counties will get lucky. Most areas will probably still need additional moisture.
Cool temperatures as of late. Will we see some heat building?
We will see some warmer weather. We are expecting that to take place this weekend. I think our temperatures across most of the Corn Belt will warm up quite a bit. The western areas will get quite warm because they do have that drier bias still in place. Some 90-degree temperatures likely from near the Missouri River westward. For areas to the east of the Missouri River and as far west as the Mississippi Valley, we'll probably see temperatures peak out in the lower to a few middle 90s this weekend. And then for areas east of the Mississippi, including Illinois and all areas over to Ohio, we'll probably see those temperatures warm back into the 80s and a few lower 90s. Now, that frontal boundary I mentioned previously that is going to move across the Midwest early next week will put an end to the warming trend temporarily. And then we'll see perhaps a greater amount of warming at the end of next week and more likely in the following weekend.
Are you concerned at all about any areas around the Midwest, or is the rainfall that we had the last couple of weeks across Iowa and this half to three quarters or varied amounts that we'll be getting in the next week enough to sustain a crop that's in awfully good condition at this point?
Well, I think for the eastern portion of the Corn Belt, we'll probably stay in pretty darn good shape. Western areas, though, I am very concerned about. The further west and north you go, I think the higher the potential is for some crop moisture stress to evolve as we go out towards mid-month in July. There's already some drier biases in place out there in the western Corn Belt. We've already gone through a week of concern over parts of Iowa because of dryness. We did get some timely rain last weekend that helped that situation quite a bit, but there's still a large portion of central Iowa that still has a drier bias of significance. And I think as we get involved with this high-pressure ridge that is likely to evolve into the western part of the Corn Belt towards the end of next week and on into the week of July 10th, we're going to accelerate those drying rates. So if we don't get a good dose of rain next week with that slow-moving cool front coming across the Midwest, then I think the stage is set for some stress that might become a little bit more threatening to some of these crops, especially in the eastern Dakotas, Minnesota, parts of Nebraska, and portions of Iowa as we go into that second week of July, because we're going to see some pretty warm temperatures, too, with readings well into the 90s, maybe even getting up around 100 in spring wheat areas in the plains.
Thanks much, Drew.
Have a good day.
Drew Lerner is the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets, and don't forget, you can listen to today's futures analysis, the cash grain analysis, and weather right there on our website at WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.